Hello, I'm Tom Wilkinson, and welcome to the Thinking in English podcast, a podcast aimed at intermediate to advanced level English learners. One of the best ways to improve your English is by speaking as regularly as possible. But for many of you, it might be difficult to find people or opportunities to practice speaking. So, on this episode of Thinking in English, I am going to provide a detailed introduction to language exchanges, explain how to find conversation partners, and give you some tips to make sure you have the best experience possible. But first, why not follow the Thinking in English Instagram page, Thinking in English podcast, or the link is in the description. And you definitely should look at our blog, thinkinginenglish.blog, for all of the transcripts and some bonus content. Here is today's vocabulary list. As always, the written list is available in the description of the podcast and also on my blog, thinkinginenglish.blog. Proficiency. Proficiency. Proficiency is skill, ability, and experience. For example, the job ad said they wanted proficiency in at least two languages. Competence. Competence. Competence is the ability to do something well. For example, her competence as a teacher is unquestionable. Intuitive. Intuitive. If something is intuitive, it is understandable without needing to think about it or justify it. As in, most people have an intuitive sense of right and wrong. To resemble. To resemble. To look like or be like someone or something. As in, you resemble your mother. Uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. Not feeling or making you feel comfortable and unpleasant. Also embarrassing. For example, these shoes are really uncomfortable. To filter. To filter. To remove or select a particular type of information from something. For instance, most email apps use spam filtering tools. To fill out. To fill out. This phrasal verb means to write or type information in spaces that are provided for it. For example, you must fill out your tax returns before September. Prompt. Prompt. A prompt is something used to help you remember things or to inspire discussions. As in, the actor forgot his lines, so the director gave him a prompt. Conscious. Conscious. To be conscious means to be aware of or worried about something. As in, consumers aren't as conscious of prices as they were last year. One of the most beneficial and most enjoyable ways to practice your English is by joining a language exchange or finding a language exchange partner. Language exchange is a method of learning languages by practicing with learning partners who are speakers of different languages. Most of the time, this is done by two native speakers teaching each other their own native languages. For example, imagine you are a German person who wants to learn English. If you join a language exchange, you should try to find a native English person who wants to learn German, and then help each other study and practice. In a language exchange, both learners have the opportunity to improve their target language skills and overall proficiency while developing intercultural competence at the same time. Sometimes the exchange can be a little more structured and involve teaching phrases and vocabulary, while other times many people prefer to have more informal conversations. If you search online, you will soon find hundreds of different tips and tricks on how to learn English faster. No one wants to be a beginner forever. We want to be able to have conversations and be fluent as quickly as possible. But as you may know, most of the tips and tricks recommended online probably don't work. I and many others believe that the only real way to learn a language faster is to get as much speaking practice as possible. Language exchanges are a simple and intuitive way of getting such speaking practice. Traditionally, for one half of the conversation, you talk in your own native language, so your partner can practice their new skills. And for the other half of the conversation, you talk in your partner's native language, so you can practice your new skills. This style of learning requires a lot of patience and trust. You must be comfortable to be both a teacher and a student. If you are only interested in learning English and you don't care about helping your partner learn, well, you'll probably find that they won't want to meet with you anymore. After I moved to London about 3 years ago, I began using a few different language exchange applications. I found a few partners who really helped with my Japanese and Mandarin skills, and I even attended a couple of larger language meetups. I assume I was like many of you. I used vocabulary apps, textbooks, and I even attended evening classes to improve my language. But I always felt that something was missing. Eventually, I realized that something was conversation. Having language exchange partners, who eventually became my friends, gave me the regular opportunity to converse in a foreign language, experiment with things I had learned while studying by myself, and learn how to interact with real people from other countries. It didn't just give me the opportunity to practice, but also the motivation to improve. I wanted to have deeper, more advanced, and more specific conversations. And having a partner who wanted to do the same really helped me. There are three ways you can do a language exchange, or three main ways anyway. Online, face-to-face, or at meetups. In the current pandemic world, online language exchanges are probably the easiest and safest type. Moreover, in my case at least, online language exchanges led to real-life meetings. It was how I found people or met people to meet up with. The internet has made communication with people all across the world possible, and there are many different platforms, websites, apps that are designed to make exchanges possible. Online language exchange can vary from emails and instant messaging to phone and video calls. And depending on the way you want to communicate, you are able to practice listening, speaking, reading, and writing. There are many different platforms out there which offer language exchanges. In many ways, they resemble dating apps, as you look through the profiles and you choose who you want to practice with. Then you send a message and hope that they reply. Importantly, I want you to remember to be safe. You have to remember to be safe. Like everywhere on the internet, there are weird people. There are weird people online, and you should remember this. So make sure the person you are exchanging with really wants to learn your language, especially if you are a woman. In fact, if you are a woman, I would probably recommend either hiding your profile from men or looking closely at male users' profiles and their reviews. There will also be people out there who don't want to help you with English. They just want to learn your language. Or maybe people who are not native English speakers. Choosing the right partner is an important step, and once you do this, you will have a great experience. I'll talk more about this a little later. Here are some of the most popular apps. I'm not recommending any of them, but I'll leave links on the blog if you want to check them out. HelloTalk is the biggest language exchange app with millions of users, hundreds of different languages, and lots of interesting features that other apps don't have. Tandem also has millions of users and focuses on one-to-one conversations. It has been called the Tinder of language exchange apps, but don't let that put you off. Most of the people on the app want to study. Bilingua matches learners based on your personalities, language levels, and interests. My Language Exchange has a really old website, but there are many users who are looking for long-time language exchanges. The Mixer is focused on Skype or video chats, which is nice, as many of the other apps are designed around instant messaging instead. Speaky lets you have instant exchanges. Reddit has massive and active language exchange communities, while Facebook has lots of private groups online as well. Now, if you look at all of these places and you can't find a good partner, you always have the opportunity of paying for conversation classes online. Now, this is not really language exchange, but you can get a lot of the same features as a language exchange, but you don't have to be a teacher. Language tutoring websites like Cambly. So I actually tutor on Cambly, and if you look on my blog, you can find the link on this article if you'd like to book a lesson. There's also iTalki and Preply, or Preply, I don't know how you say it. On these websites, there are lots of different native-speaking English tutors. For me, I was never really interested in online language exchanges. I'm not the best at using social media or sending instant messages, and I find calling people on the phone very uncomfortable, especially if I've never met them before. So, although I used a few of the apps I mentioned, I actually preferred meeting people in person. Now, I was fortunate that I lived in London, a large city with many people who also wanted to have language exchanges. And also, this was before the pandemic. I met people through friends and at my university to exchange with. A few of the apps allow you to filter people by gender and location, which is really useful. And in fact, most of the partners I met on language exchange apps actually found me. Like I said, I don't like messaging people. So they found me by looking at my profile and finding out I was in London. Then, after a few introductory messages, we'd agree to meet at a cafe or a pub and have a face-to-face exchange. We could divide our time between languages and were able to clearly hear and see each other speaking. A lot of communication is non-verbal, things like facial expressions, body language, hand gestures. These are really difficult to learn online. The social element of face-to-face exchanges was also great, and I personally feel it is easier to talk to someone if you can see them. The final type of language exchange are meetups. Meetups are when groups of language learners, ranging from a few people to hundreds of people, meet in a location and practice their skills. The advantage of this type of exchange is that there are always new people to meet and talk to. If you don't like one person, you can just move on to someone else. In London, I attended a meetup at a pub and also a meetup at my university. While I also know of other meetups that took place in parks and even bowling alleys. When I lived in Japan, I also went to a barbecue meetup organized by one of my friends. If you want to look for meetups, the best place to head to is meetup.com or the app Meetup. They are usually free or cheap, and if you live in a native English speaking country, you could always join a non-language meetup. Like you could go hiking or you could join a book club. So now that I have introduced what language exchange is, I think it would be good to offer a few tips and tricks and pieces of advice to make sure that you get the most benefits from your experience. Language exchanges are such a great way of practicing speaking, but many people make mistakes or bad decisions when choosing partners and planning for their exchanges. Hopefully, if you listen to some of my advice, you won't have to face these challenges. So, my first tip is to ask yourself what you want. Before you even download an app or organize an exchange, there are so many questions you need to ask yourself. First, why do you want to learn English? Is it for work, for study, for travel, for meeting new people? How much free time do you have? How much time are you willing to spend speaking to other people every week? Are you looking for regular exchanges with one person or one-time exchanges with many people? Do you prefer speaking practice or written messages? Would you rather meet in person or online? Do you want to meet one person or do you want to meet a group? Do you want a friend or would you like a teacher? If you think about these questions, it will help you to decide which app to use and what kind of partner to look for. Next, you need to choose the right partner. I've mentioned this before, but choosing the right partner is really, really important. Don't just go with the first person to send you a message. All of the apps I mentioned in this episode have hundreds or thousands of active users. So how can you find the right partner when there are so many people? Well, in my experience, there are a few signs to look out for, a few signs that might show you who is serious and maybe who not to talk to. So look closely at the profiles. If someone has been active on the app or website recently, and they have been using the app for a while, maybe a few weeks or a few months, that is a good sign. Also, if their profile is completely filled out and has detailed information about everything, that is also a great sign as well. When I used language exchange apps, I never talked to anyone who didn't fill out their profile. Also, I recommend not talking to anyone who has multiple, so more than two, languages listed on their profile. If someone says they are interested in learning French, Spanish, German, Chinese, Japanese, Arabic, Korean, Italian, do you really think they are committed and interested in learning other languages? Or maybe they just want to talk to people on the internet. I don't think they're committed. Moreover, find more than one partner. It's okay to experiment and try different people. Remember, you're not dating. Also, talk about your expectations early. Explain how often you'd like to meet, how long you'd like to meet for, and how you want to language exchange. Make sure that your partner or your prospective partner is comfortable and has similar expectations to yourself. Make it clear you want speaking practice. On language exchange apps, it is really easy to message people, but it can be a little awkward to move to speaking. It is fine if you just want to message back and forth, but don't be afraid to politely ask if you can speak. You could ask, would you like to speak on video chat soon? Would you like to send voice messages? Or would you like to do language exchange on WhatsApp? You should talk about dividing your time equally as well. Structuring your conversation so that half is in your native language and half is in English is important. Make it clear you expect that your partner will help you. Otherwise, you might find yourself being a teacher instead of a language exchange partner. Decide how often you want to be corrected and how you want to be corrected. Do you want them to correct every single mistake you make? Or maybe just occasionally if it's a major mistake? And think about what you want to discuss and whether you want natural conversations. The next tip is really important. Be prepared. Be prepared. People are often worried that preparing for a conversation will make it weird and unnatural. And that might be true. But I wouldn't care too much. Because you're in a language exchange. It's not a natural situation anyway. If it's the first time you're meeting them, you're kind of in an artificial conversation. It's strange. So there's nothing wrong with planning the topics you want to talk about, thinking of some questions that you could ask, or even bringing an article, exercise, or a prompt to discuss. If you are unprepared, you will quickly find yourself having boring conversations and asking questions like, where are you from? Do you have any siblings? How old are you? It's all boring. I'd recommend making some notes as well. Bring a notebook. Writing notes helps you to remember things, and it can make it easier to review what you practice with your language exchange partner. Of course, I don't want you to write down everything your partner says word for word. That would be crazy, and I think your partner might leave. Instead, if you hear an interesting word or phrase, note it down. Try to find three things in every language exchange that you want to learn, or you have learned. And furthermore, don't just come prepared to learn, but also to teach and to help. Now, you are not a professional teacher, but you should be conscious that you are helping someone learn. Speak clearly and try to avoid slang or colloquialisms that a learner might not know. Ask questions to help guide your partner's conversation. You know, if they're stuck, you could ask a question to help them think about what to say. And if you really can't think of what to talk about, try teaching your partner some idioms or expressions. Everyone loves to learn informal language, idioms, and expressions. You should also give helpful corrections. Now, as a teacher, I find that giving long explanations for mistakes is not always the best method. I have some students, especially older students, who really like explanations. But for most people, it can be a bit annoying. So instead, try repeating sentences back to your partner with corrections, as though you are affirming or asking a question instead of finding errors. So for example, if your partner said, "I eat ice cream yesterday," you could say, "Oh, you ate ice cream yesterday? How was it?" Here you subtly correct "eat" to "ate" without making it obvious. So here is today's final thought. On this episode of Thinking in English, I have tried to give you all a complete introduction to language exchanges. They are an excellent way to improve your English skills and can provide you with the opportunity to speak English regularly. Online or in person, texting or speaking, there are many different options to suit you. I hope that one day this podcast grows big enough where I can help organize language exchanges, book clubs, and study groups. But for now, I'll just try to continue producing the best content possible for all of you. Have you ever been to a language exchange? Have you ever found a language exchange partner? If so, why don't you reach out and let me know? Thank you for listening to today's episode of Thinking in English. Please share with your friends, check out our social media links in the description, and send us a message. We really appreciate all of your feedback. And if you have any ideas for topics or future podcast guests or any other learning format, please let us know. And please leave me a rating. We're now on Instagram. I'm sure you've already seen it, but go there, check it out. Lots of good content about vocabulary, pronunciation, and grammar. And Instagram is a great way to contact me. It's Thinking in English Podcast on Instagram, or the link is in the description. Also, all of the transcripts of the podcast are now available on the Thinking in English blog. Vocabulary lists, comprehension questions, and all of the articles are there for you to read. That link is also in the description, so please check it out too. Thank you, and see you next time.